Welcome to Health Media Now with award-winning author and host Denise Messenger for a lifetime of health empowerment. Live by being in the pink, meaning P stands for being persistent, I stands for using your intuition, N stands for networking, and K stands for obtaining knowledge. Preserve and protect your health by listening live every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Our guests entertain and share cutting-edge information. They share with you what may have taken years to achieve through experience in their field. Become inspired and motivated. Reach your full potential with fascinating tips and products. Receive a lifetime of benefits from authors, doctors, practitioners, healthcare providers, and learn about exciting new products. You asked for it, and we deliver. Now, here's your host, Denise Messenger.
Hello, listeners. Thank you so much for joining us today. It is May 27th, 2015. We're going to be talking today with Dr. Elizabeth King, and our subject is going to be the fear of flying. Dr. King is an internationally recognized health and wellness expert. She's also a psychotherapist, a hypnotherapist, an author, a speaker, and a TV radio personality, a professor, and a philanthropist. I don't think there's anything else we could add to that. Highly, highly accomplished woman, and we are so fortunate to have her with us today. She's also the author of a book called The Simple Guide to Holistic Health, The Lessons Learned from My Personal Journey. So let's bring Dr. King onto our show now. Hello there.
Hi, Denise. Thank you so much for having me.
Wow. Just love it.
Thank you. This is awesome. You're in California. I'm in Florida, so it's quite an extreme.
It really is. I'd like to start the show out by asking you how you got on the path that you're on today. I mean, you've done so many things, and you continue to. What was your inspiration?
Well, interestingly enough, I never thought I would be doing what I'm doing. I'm sure that probably happens to most people. You start out life thinking you're going to do something, and then life happens, and things happen, and it takes a turn. So let me just give you a little bit of background. I am from the Dominican Republic originally, and at the age of 3, I contracted polio as a child, and my mom brought me to the U.S., and from the age of 6 to 17, I had 32 surgeries. And so most of my life I was spent in a hospital bed. And then after I overcame most of that, and that's a whole nother show to be continued, but after I went through all of that, I started my path and my career in education, and I quickly discovered that I really enjoy counseling kids, really. And so I got into doing a master's in clinical work because I wanted to counsel. So I got my degree in counseling, and I started developing programs for the school system in Florida and in the Fort Lauderdale area. And I had a wonderful career of 25 years doing educational programs and developing programs for the mental health arena as well as education. And 9 years ago, just out of the clear blue, I wound up being bedridden because of chronic pain. Oh, yes. I didn't tell you, but in the midst of all that, I also wound up having three other surgeries. Wound up having a hip replacement and another hip replacement. So long story short, I wound up being bedridden for 2 years without being able to walk, taking 8 to 10 pain pills just to survive the pain. So I had to stop my career completely. And I know it was just so dark for me at that time because everything that I thought I had worked for went down the tubes, and I basically was non-functioning. And what happened was I went to a doctor, honestly, looking for answers because nobody could give me answers. And I almost am, I'm ashamed to say that I was going to a doctor hoping that he would tell me I had cancer because the pain was so horrific that I just wanted to know so that I could deal with it. But the doctor said, no, you don't have cancer, but I think all of your muscles are contracting, and what I think is going on is that you may have post-polio, but why don't you look into holistic health? And I looked at him like he had a horn sticking out of his head, honestly. I didn't know holistic. Yeah, I had no idea what that meant. And so I started thinking, what does that mean? And he said to me, listen, what do you have to lose? And those were the most profound words that I have ever been told, because that changed my life. And when you ask me the question is what got me to do this, that's really what turned my whole life around, because within 4 months after starting holistic medicine, using acupuncture, nutritional counseling, hypnosis, I was able to walk without taking any medication. And I rediscovered myself. It was a re-transformation of who I was as a woman, as a career person. And I was committed to giving back. And so I opened up a center in Fort Lauderdale, and the rest has been history. And I am a psychotherapist, like I shared with you. And my passion has always been to work with trauma and depression and anxiety. And I just went full force, especially using holistic approaches. And so now, 7 years later, my center has grown leaps and bounds. I have 10 practitioners working for me. Internationally. Yes, I know. And I also created a women's movement in 2012 called Suits, Stilettos, and Lipstick, which, by the way, we will be opening up in California really soon, because we just started our national expansion. And it is for women, because I saw so many women coming to my center really having struggles juggling life with work-life balance issues and challenges. And it's just been really exciting. A long-winded answer to a simple question, but I couldn't give you a simple answer, because really the message here is that if I can do it, so can anyone else. Oh my goodness. I can't even imagine that I could be doing what I'm doing right now. So here I am, just going forward and finding ways to serve.
Well, all I can say is congratulations.
Thank you.
You have a great deal of tenacity and perseverance, I'll tell you, with what you've been through.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, I'm very spiritual, so I believe that, you know, that there's a divine purpose for all of us. Every day I pray that I am guided in the way that I'm supposed to serve, because I know that everything that I've gone through in my life has to be for a reason, for a purpose. And so I utilize my challenges to find ways to serve and to live in purpose, and this is what I'm doing. So I really appreciate you inviting me onto your show and to allow me to share my story. Thank you.
You're welcome. You know, I'm a little curious, your holistic center, if we jump quickly to your book, you talk about, numerous ways to heal. And most of these I'm familiar with, you know, the on-demand oxygen therapy.
Good. You know the on-demand. That's awesome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Awesome. I know thermography and let's see, what else do you talk about? There was something else. Oh, well, colonics, of course. Biofeedback, absolutely. Aromatherapy, acupuncture. I know all of these. Do you provide these services at your center?
I do. Most of those services I do. But, you know, my book really, honestly, I created it because that was the book that I wish I had had when I was bedridden. You know, it would have saved me 2 years of being in bed because I had no idea that all of this existed and how it works. And I know in California, you guys are so ahead of Florida. I mean, we're starting to catch on to it. But I have to be honest, I was the biggest skeptic myself. I didn't know what this all was. And, you know, had I had a book that was simple, that was relatable, that someone had shared with me, listen, I was a skeptic too, and now look where I'm at, I think that would have saved me 2 years of darkness. So I wrote my book not really to highlight my center, but to say these things exist out there. And whether it's in my center or somewhere else, just find it. And that's only a tip of the iceberg, because there are so many other things that could be used.
Yes. Well, the clinic that I go to in Irvine, California, they offer all of these services, and they have for 15 years. So, you know, they've always been on the cutting edge. And I have to attribute my wellness and being cured of cancer to a lot to that clinic, that particular clinic. So
that's awesome.
I could really relate to everything that we're talking about. Now, our subject matter today is about the fear of flying.
Yeah.
How would you like to approach this subject with our listeners?
Well, this is a very interesting topic because I see a lot of patients on fear of flying. And, you know, so many people go through life having fear of flying and not even thinking anything of it. They either, you know, just stop flying or do it and take all kinds of medication to survive.
Numb themselves
or drink alcohol. And, you know, but there is a solution, and there are real solutions that will work really fast. And so I guess the way I like to approach it, if it's okay with you, is first talking about where it comes from and what kinds of treatments are out there that are really very beneficial for it. You want to do that?
Great. Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, first of all, let me just go back and clarify that I am a psychotherapist. And so my credentials are in the mental health arena. I have postgraduate work in trauma, PTSD, anxiety, and depression. And the reason that I am clarifying that is because I want your listeners to be very cautious who they go to for their treatment, just like you wouldn't go to a mechanic if you have, you know, cancer. You shouldn't go to, you know, a general psychotherapist or a coach if you have fear of flying. Those are fear of flying really stems from trauma, and it's neuropsychological. So there's so much more to it than just, let's just talk about it. So a lot of people will go to a therapist and go, well, I have fear of flying because I was in a really bad situation where there was turbulence and I got scared. And what happens in those situations, if the therapist is not a trained therapist in trauma, what happens is that you get re-traumatized. And so nothing happens. You go on the plane and you're still going to feel the same or worse because now you have it at top of mind and you've brought all those emotions up. So first part is understanding that you need to go to an expert that understands trauma and anxiety, and really has techniques to deal with it, not just understand it, but actually is a specialist in it. So that's the first premise.
How would you find them?
Well, first of all, I would ask. I would just simply ask. I mean, also, there are a lot of websites that, and I'm going to share this technique with you, they actually have a listing of who is trained in these techniques. And there are a lot of other techniques that are specific for trauma that also are very useful and effective. And they have associations that you can look on their website and see if someone in your area has been trained and is an expert in that field. So then I would ask the question, if you are talking to the therapist, say, do you treat fear of flying and phobias? Yes, because a lot of people will say yes. How do you treat it? If they say talk therapy does not work for fear of flying. It may help dissipate. It may help you, you know, reflect on and neutralize a bit of the emotions, but it's not going to take away the fear of flying. So that's the first premise. The second thing is that you have to understand where it's coming from. Not all the time are you afraid of flying because you had an incident on a plane. In fact, many times your fear of flying comes from something totally unrelated. It could be something that happened when you were a child, when you were in the ages between 5 and 7 is really critical. Age 5 is a very critical time for developmental stages for children. And so we look as a trauma specialist around that age to see if something happened that made you feel out of control. And it could be anything. It could have been that somebody bullied you and you felt out of control. It could have been that you were, you know, unfortunately, you know, maybe physically abused. And you felt out of control. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't necessarily have to do with the flying. And what happens is you could then be living life very, very well, you know, doing things and everything is going fine. And then all of a sudden you may have, like, let's say, for example, a car accident or something else stressful happens. And all of a sudden you start to fear flying. And it has nothing to do with the flying.
Interesting.
Isn't that interesting? What happens is the brain is very, very, very intricate and complex. But what happens is that your rational thinking happens in your frontal lobe and the front part. If everybody can feel their forehead, that's where your frontal lobe is. That's where rational thinking happens. But your emotions, habits, and memories are stored in the back part of your head, which is your backstem. And when there is an incident, something that happens that is traumatic where you feel out of control, there's a disconnect. If you can visualize, like, the road, I like to use analogies because it makes it a lot more clear. If you have a road between your front, your forehead and the back part of your head, and then something traumatic happens, that road gets covered up with debris, and there's no communication and there's no pathway from one side to the next. So let's say you're getting on the plane and you go, I am not going to be afraid. I am perfectly fine. I am calm and there's nothing going to happen to me. That's your frontal lobe speaking. But something happened in your life that froze the memory in your subconscious mind, in your backstem. And the message is not getting through. So what happens is in the backstem, everything is reactionary. So what it feels like is something is going to happen that I feel out of control. There's no communication. Does that make sense?
I'll be done. It does. It really does.
And so it's fascinating because that happens in so many different areas, and it's not just fear of flying, but this is our topic for today, but phobias and you know, when you feel out of control, when you feel like you can't handle life, it's because something has been implanted or frozen in memory, in subconscious memory, that says, I am out of control and I cannot get out of it. And there's no pathway to say, it's okay, you're going to be okay. And so it's really critical that the therapist understands this concept, number one, and understands what to do about it next.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to explain that in a few minutes.
Okay.
I want to go back and just kind of rewind a little bit. We have three, and if this is a lot of information, please slow me down because I can speak about this stuff all day long. So ask me questions and slow me down if you think it's too fast or too much information.
No, I think you've explained it very well for
awesome.
A layperson.
Awesome. So the other part that I wanted to talk about is that you have three different, I guess it's switches on your subconscious mind, for lack of a better word. And when you feel threatened, you have fight or flight. We know that. Everybody hears about fight or flight, and that's a natural response to being threatened. But there's something much more profound that happens when there is some trauma or something that causes anxiety, and that's called frozen. And it freezes. Your mind freezes. Your subconscious freezes in that space. And how you know if you have a frozen memory is if when you were thinking about a specific memory, if you feel like you're there, like the emotions are there, almost like you can be reliving it, you can use all of your senses to be there, you can smell it, hear it, taste it, touch it, then you are operating from frozen memory. And that is called PTSD. And a lot of people that come to me with fear of flying come with fear of flying, but they're suffering from PTSD. And they've been undiagnosed. Nobody has ever told them that. They go, well, okay, you had this, or maybe they've had turbulence on a flight. Maybe they have had a turbulence, but most of us have had turbulence. So why is this person freaking out and this other person is not? That's because their experiences before are dictating to them a frozen memory, and it hasn't been resolved, so it has to get resolved.
So does this frozen memory, is that associated with the PTSD? In other words, it just comes back, the same memory over and over again?
Well, sometimes yes and sometimes no. Sometimes you may not even recognize that this is operating, which makes it a little bit more complex, because it would be very simple if you were reliving it, you would say, okay, I'm suffering from PTSD, but it may not manifest itself in that fashion, because maybe something happened when you were 5 years old and you're not even thinking about that. Now you're thinking about what happened a year ago, but that's not what caused the PTSD. It could have, but most likely something else happened prior to that. And the brain, what it does, it doesn't know from today to yesterday to 10 years ago to 30 years ago. It just connects the dots, and it feels the same way. It feels like it's all one thing. So if you felt out of control because you were in an abusive relationship, for example, that might trigger that fear of flying, because it's the same feeling. The foundation of the feeling is, I feel out of control. And so then all of a sudden you go into a panic when you're getting in that plane.
Wow.
So it's really critical that we understand that trauma is really the underlying cause of fear of any type. But most, when we're talking about fear of flying, because so many people suffer from fear of flying, we need to be aware that, yes, you might have had that turbulence last year and it was pretty bad, but the fact that you are going into this, you know, full head-on panic attack when you're getting on a plane doesn't justify it, so it's got to be something else. And we see the something else right away as a trauma specialist. So let me tell you what the solutions are, because the cool thing about knowing this is that there is a solution, and it's actually something that I work with every day in my clinic, and I see incredible results, and I know that there are a lot of therapists out there that are doing incredible work in this area, and you don't have to live a prisoner of being afraid of getting on a plane. You don't have to. You can right now today say, I'm going to go for help, and you will be able to do this. So I am trained in a therapy called EMDR, which stands for Eye Movement Desensitization Reprocessing, EMDR. Have you heard about this, Denise, since you're...
No, I haven't.
Okay, well, this is a neuropsychological technique that was invented, created by a psychologist. Her name is Dr. Francine Shapiro, about 20 years ago. It's widely used in the arena of trauma, and it actually started because she wanted to do work with veterans, but it is useful for any type of trauma. And it, without getting into too many details, I want to just kind of give you an overview of the treatment. It started off being rapid eye movement where the therapist guided the eyes with her fingers or with his or her fingers, and the patient would follow the fingers in different sequence of movements, and that movement creates I would say a movement in the brain very similar to REM, which happens when you're asleep, and it allows the frozen memory to open up, reprocess, and release. And it is the most amazing technique that I have ever utilized in conjunction with hypnosis, which I use as well, takes it to a whole nother level.
Wow.
It is amazing. And so it transforms the thoughts that were in subconscious mind in the back stem, it restructures them. And someone that was in panic talking about an experience, a traumatic experience while they were going through this therapy, within minutes will start to diffuse the emotions. And it's very fast. Within 3 to 8 sessions, you pretty much can mediate and neutralize the emotions that are attached and restructure. And basically now, if you can see this, you can visualize the road, the pathway between the cortex and the backstem, the road now being cleared out. Now you say, I'm not afraid of flying, and your backstem goes, oh, yay, I'm going to fly. it's that awesome. And the message has been delivered
and
received.
Can't wait to go, right?
And here we go. It really is very, very powerful. I use it for all types of trauma, but definitely for fear flying. It's very fast. I actually have done it with patients that with one session they are on a plane. I mean, and done. It's over. It's just that fast.
Well, that's amazing. Really amazing.
It is. It's amazing in so many ways, right? Because I think so oftentimes we think we're stuck with a situation. I'm not going to fly for the rest of my life, or I'm just going to continue to take medication. This is just a way of life. And when you open up opportunities of taking control over your emotions and your life, it leads to so many different things. It's not just a fear of flying, right? It's the fear of anything that you have. If you can conquer one fear, you can conquer everything else. And so it's
wow.
A beautiful therapy because it really addresses the phobia at the neuropsychological
mm-hmm.
level, not just on a surface where you say, well, just don't
mm-hmm.
be afraid. It's going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, most people think it's going to be fine, but their inner voice says, oh, no, I'm going to die.
Ugh.
I'm going to give you an example of what I'm talking about because I have permission from her to tell this story.
Okay.
This is very, very interesting. So this woman came to me because of fear of flying, and she said, the interesting thing is I've never had a problem, you know, while I'm in a plane. I don't understand where this is coming from, but I have a job that requires me to fly. And every time I'm going to go on a plane, I have to take all kinds of medication. And for 2 or 3 weeks prior to the flight, I am in panic and I drive my husband crazy and I need to do something about it. So she says, I need something. Whatever you can do, just please do it. So I start doing my evaluation and I discover that indeed, she had not had a problem with a plane or anything like that. But what she had had was that when she was 5 years old, get this, she had stuck a pea up her nose, a little pea,
oh.
and the pea started to sprout.
Oh.
And it's really, it's funny and cute, but now listen to what is
not
happening.
Really.
While she's telling me this, she begins to hyperventilate as
oh.
if she was living it.
Oh.
And so she's saying to me what happened was her mom sees the little sprouts and gets into a panic and says, oh, my gosh, my daughter's going to die, and takes her to the hospital. They put her on a gurney, and the doctors are running down the hallway with her saying she's going to die. And this was in an island hospital, and so and it was about 40 years ago. So I guess not politically correct to be yelling down the hallway saying this child
right.
is going to die, but that's what they were doing. And
oh my gosh.
Her little memory was frozen right there of I'm going to die. Guess what? Where she actually would go into panic wasn't on the plane, was when she was walking up the corridor to get to the plane. Her subconscious mind was saying, she's going to die. It's the same corridor. Her brain doesn't know that they're friends between yesterday, 30 years or 40 years ago, or now. The subconscious mind was frozen. The thought process was frozen, and she's going to die. I'm going to die. And so that's what was kicking in. She
that's
was
amazing.
Hyperventilating, crying like if it was yesterday when she was telling me the story. So I knew, bingo,
oh my
this is
gosh.
It.
Oh, that is, that's just wild.
Isn't that wild?
Yes.
So
it really
we,
is.
We did the treatment with that experience, doing the eye movement.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, you don't have to do the eye movement anymore. There's a little machine that buzzes in your hand from left to right, which creates the same neuropsychological movement of the brain, so you don't have to be uncomfortable moving your eyes. It just feels like a little buzz, and it does the same thing. And so we did that treatment, the EMDR, and then that allowed her to bring up all those emotions. She went from crying hysterically, thinking of all everything. She was reliving it. She was 5 years old, reliving that experience. And within that session, she was looking at it as if it was on a TV screen. And that's how most people will describe it. It feels like you're watching it on the TV screen. It's not like you forget it. It doesn't erase the memory. It takes away the emotions that are attached to it. So this is my technical term, and I have to ask for forgiveness from your audience, but I call it removing the gook with the EMDR, and then I replace the gook with good thoughts and positive thinking by using hypnosis. And hypnosis is another very powerful tool. I don't know if we have any time to talk about hypnosis, but I use that very much so for fear of flying as well.
No, we definitely can talk about it. Listeners, if you're just tuning in, we're talking with our special guest, Dr. Elizabeth King, and our subject is the fear of flying. And she uses a special technique, and I will let her explain that briefly again in case our listeners missed it earlier. Why don't you just explain to them what EMDR
is? Sure. Absolutely. We're
is.
Talking about EMDR, which is Eye Movement Desensitization Reprocessing Technique, which treats trauma. And what we have been talking about is that fear flying comes from an underlying trauma. So we need to treat the trauma in a neuropsychological way so that it's not just talk therapy, but we're actually getting to the root of it. And the EMDR allows us to do it. So we get the emotionality out of it. We neutralize the emotions by using this technique that requires a very fast eye movement, or now in a more modern way, you can use lights to make the eye movement, or you can use a vibration in the palm of the hand. There are many different ways that you can do EMDR. I choose to do the vibration, and it actually brings up all the emotions that are caught in the subconscious mind, neutralizes, and allows you to release it. So it's very important that you find the right therapist that knows how to do this. And then what I wanted to talk about was the hypnosis, because that's part two of the technique that I have developed and put into place. And by the way, not every therapist treats trauma or fear of flying the same way. There are other techniques that can be used. But this is something that I have developed through the years that works very, very nicely. It's very effective and very fast. I really believe in fast approaches to mental health because I really like to empower my patients to really know that they can do this, that they can overcome anything in their life. And so I give them the tools. I use the things that I have to in my center, and then I give them the tools so they can continue to move forward. And hypnosis is one of those. So the first part is I do the hypnosis, but I also teach my patients to do the hypnosis for themselves because they can use that for anything. And self-hypnosis is amazing. Do you know, do you use hypnosis, Denise?
No, I've never experienced it.
Well, I have to tell you that when I was bedridden for those 2 years, it was hypnosis that took me to the next level of wellness because of the polio and all the 36 surgeries that I've had.
36
surgeries, yes. You know, my body is going to feel pain no matter what I do, no matter how many acupuncture sessions I go to. It helps, but I still have a limp, so my gait is off, and it pulls muscles and ligaments and all that good stuff. So I needed to find a way to bypass the pain signals. And so that's what hypnosis does for me, and what it does for people with fear of flying, it allows them to bypass any residual of that fear that they were once experiencing, because we already dealt with it at the neuropsychological level. We've taken out the trauma, so there's no reason now other than habit. And so habit of, you know, being anxious of the unknown can be replaced with hypnosis. And so Just a brief explanation of how hypnosis works. Again, another neuropsychological technique, very, very fascinating. We have four different brain waves. We have beta, alpha, theta, and delta. Beta is when you're alert. The alpha is when you're dozy. Theta is when you're sleeping. And delta is when you're dreaming. Anything between alpha and delta is opening you up for hypnotic suggestions. Because when you are dozy, when you're just like in that dozy state, you don't have a connection with reality. For example, if you're dozy, you lose track of time because your subconscious mind is not aware of time. And that's where you go when you're in alpha. And when you're sleeping, that's where you go to sleep. And 9 hours later or 8 hours later, or with me, 3 hours later, you're awake and you don't know that 3 hours have passed. That's because you've disconnected with reality. Well, that's all you need is to disconnect with reality. As long as someone can help you to be relaxed in a dozy state, you can be hypnotized. So everybody has been in a trance. Every single person, and probably more than once, you have experienced that event where you're driving or you're somewhere and you go, where am I? Has that ever happened to you?
Uh-huh. Oh, sure.
That's
sure.
Because you've kicked in or you downshifted into alpha mode. You have disconnected with reality, and when you're in that state, you are in a trance.
I'll be done.
So all I need to do as a hypnotherapist is to help you to get into alpha. And as soon as you're in alpha, your subconscious mind is open to all suggestions, but only suggestions that you want, because a lot of people will ask me, well, can you make me bark like a dog? Because they've seen this on a comedy show, in a comedy theater.
I
can't make you bark like a dog or quack like a duck unless you have signed up for it, and those people in those comedy shows have said, yes, I volunteered to do these things. So you can only do the things that you want to do, because you have like an automated system in your brain that says, oh, no, that goes against my moral judgment. I am not going to do that, and you will stop yourself. So it's quite interesting. But the things that you do want to do, like I want to fly, I can actually have you visualize and actually live flying as if you were there right now. And you would see everything, smell everything as if you were experiencing it, as if it was so real. And what that is doing is it's creating an imagery in the subconscious mind that allows you to almost set that image, so that when you are on the plane, you will be able to just relax and just take it all in.
Nice.
It is just amazing.
Really, really nice.
It is really nice. And by the way, that can be used, hypnosis can be used for anything, for fear of speaking, for pain, as I do every single day, for relaxation. It is almost like meditation, but for me, it works a little bit better because I have a hard time stilling my brain with meditation. And with hypnosis, you actually activate your brain. There's activity going on. So it doesn't require you to be so still, which a lot of people I know find it challenging. And I'm one of those people. So, but hypnosis with EMDR for fear of flying is just amazing and very quick and very effective.
How does one put themselves into self-hypnosis?
Well, that's really great. Great question, Denise. I love that question. It comes with practice, because what tends to happen is that people, as they're trying to get themselves to relax, they'll fall asleep and they don't get to the part of activating. So what I always recommend is that you start off not laying down too comfortably. You can sit up and practice doing self-hypnosis so that you're not going to fall asleep. And the whole premise of self-hypnosis is to relax your mind and body so that you are in that alpha state first, but not fall asleep. Although when people fall asleep in my office, that's okay because you still are listening to me. You never lose sight or the sight of the sound of my voice. You always are connected with the sound of my voice. People wake up and they'll go, "Oh my gosh, I think I was really asleep," but and I go, "Well, did you hear me say this and that?" "No, you said this, and that." I'm like, "Okay, I was just testing you. I wanted to see if you were." They always try to check me out and see if, of course. But that's exactly right. But then, for you, if you're doing it for yourself, the trick is to stay awake and then to have in mind what your goal is. What is it that you want to visualize doing? And so you practice that over and over again. I always say the best way to do it is to go to a hypnotherapist, have them do it for you so that you know what it feels like and what it actually feels like and what she does or he does. And, you know, there is a lot of CDs out there for self-hypnosis. You can purchase those, too. Those are very helpful. It's like a cheat sheet, you know. And then you just practice it. And after a while, you start to get really good at it. And, you know, it becomes very second nature to you. I use it on a daily basis for myself.
Oh, wow. How many minutes?
Me, I use it very short. I do very short ones because I've been so busy. So I usually do about 5 minutes because for me, I do it 5 minutes throughout the whole day, maybe, you know, 10 times a day because of the pain that I have in my legs.
Okay.
I don't take any medication. And so if I start to feel pain, I go into trance and I disconnect the pain from my brain,
your
basically.
Brain.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, because
well,
pain,
we only have,
I'm sorry.
We only have a couple minutes. We only have a couple minutes left. Our talk's gone so quickly. We'll have to have you back again sometime next year.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. It's a lot of information. I hope everyone is just following along and able to absorb all this.
It's been, really? Why don't you tell our listeners how they can purchase your book and if you have a website or how you can be contacted?
Absolutely. Thank you. Well, you can purchase my book on Amazon. It is Dr. Kane's Simple Guide to Holistic Health. And it's on Amazon and also in Barnes & Noble's online. And I do have a website. It is Dr. Elizabeth King and .com, drelizabethking.com, no periods after doctor. And also my center is ihchealthfusion.com, and that's the initials for International Holistic Center, ihchealthfusion.com. You can find out about my center and drelizabethking.com. And also, I am on Facebook. I'm big on Facebook, so find me, like my page, and you know, follow me.
Wonderful.
Thank you so much for having me, Denise. This was so great to be able
it
to
really
share
fun.
All that.
Really fun. It was really
Thank
fun.
You.
I'm sure your
Thank
annual
you.
Conference, your annual conference with, you know, over 400 women.
Yes,
must be
it's
really
coming
phenomenal.
Up. You need to come down. You should come for it. It is amazing.
When
it's it's Suit Stilettos and Lipstick, and it is on August 21st, coming up at the W Hotel, Fort Lauderdale. If you go to Suits Stilettos, actually, let me give you an easier. I got a new domain name. I have to remember to give this out because it's so much easier.
Okay.
SSLwomen.com. SSLwomen.com. That's the initials for Suits, Stilettos, Lipstick, Women, plural.com.
Wonderful.
And, yes, and you have all the information there for the hotel, the times. We will be announcing the lineup of speakers. It's going to be awesome, awesome, awesome. I hope everybody comes down because we also are men-friendly, so guys are welcome as well. And it is a day for renewal, uplifting, inspiration, empowerment, learning, just sisterhood. It is just an awesome, awesome day.
I'll definitely recommend it to some friends of mine that live in Fort Lauderdale as well.
Oh, awesome. Thank you. Please tell them to come to some of our events if they go to my website and sign up for the invitations. They will get to be invited to all of the events. We just launched in Palm Beach and in Miami. We're going to Chicago next and San Francisco after that, Charlotte, New York, and D.C. So we're opening up everywhere, and it is just an amazing journey that I'm on. And every woman and man, because we do want
right.
men to support women, come on
That's
and
right.
be part of this movement for a better life, for to live a happier, healthier, more purposeful life. That's what we're about.
Well, you are certainly an inspiration, Dr. King. Thank you so
Thank
much
you.
For joining us today.
Thank
and
you,
best
Denise.
Wishes. Best wishes.
Thank you. You too. Have a good one, everyone. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.
We celebrate our listeners worldwide and invite you to contact Denise at www.healthmedianow.com with any questions you may have, and follow her on Twitter at Health Media Now and Facebook at Health Media Now. For those interested in an advertising campaign on her show, contact Lisa at knowledgeworkspub.com. Be sure to visit gotcancernowwhat.com for information on Denise Messenger's award-winning book, Got Cancer? Now What?